Okay, I'm going to zoom way out now from the impact of drought on farm workers in California to the overall U.S. economy. Heck, why stop there? The global economy. And the issue Senator Bernie Sanders has pushed to the center of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination, income inequality. Just how do you go about wresting income from the very wealthy and bringing more prosperity to the poor, not just here, but across the world? This is something former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich thinks a lot about. He says several capitalist economies in Northern Europe have done much more than America to close the income gap.
Germany has a much more egalitarian distribution of income than the United States. The top 1% in Germany takes home roughly about 11% of total income, in contrast to the top 1% in America taking home about 20% of national income. And the typical German worker is a little bit better off than the worker, a typical worker in the United States, particularly when you consider free health care and free education. The same would apply to Denmark and Sweden and Norway. But even if you look at other places around the world, developing nations, you find that there is not quite as much inequality as in the United States, at least at some places. I mean, even in China. China is the big success story, actually, in terms of getting people out of extreme poverty and moving them into, well, we would still call it poverty, certainly by American standards, but not extreme poverty.
When we think income inequality, often the example is wheeled out of the disparity, the massive disparity, especially in this country, between corporate pay and the people working at the bottom, or the most of the people working in the company. How does a place like Denmark or Germany, how do they deal with corporate culture and these huge salaries?
Well, they have stronger unions, for one thing. I mean, in the United States, in the mid-50s, about one out of every three American workers was unionized, and that gave the vast middle class a voice and bargaining leverage, considerable bargaining leverage, because if you weren't unionized, you were still going to be affected by the union contracts. Prevailing wages would affect you because an employer in a non-unionized sector knew that if he or she didn't go along with unionized bargaining, that that employer would be the next to be unionized. Now, unlike the 1950s, where you had more than a third in unions, today fewer than 7% of Americans are unionized. And that means that there's very little bargaining power. In Europe, still many more people are unionized. In Canada, you have stronger unions. The trend is toward the United States, that is, declining unionization. But in a place like Germany, the unions are actually structurally much more a part of the corporate governance structure. That is, unions do have a say in what corporations do, in pay, and many things that in the United States are the prerogatives of management.
So unions, like in Germany, could actually have the power to say, no, our CEO is not going to get that many millions of dollars this year.
Yes, they do. They do say that. In Australia, there's a rule that gives shareholders much more power to say no to CEO pay than we have in the United States. And that's one reason that in Australia, for example, CEO pay is much, much lower relative to the pay of average workers than it is in the United States. Here, neither workers nor shareholders have very much power over CEO pay.
Wall Street types generally are not serving time in jail, but in Iceland, where the 2008 crisis, banking crisis started, they are sending bankers to jail, number 26, sentenced very recently. But would the U.S. ever kind of engage in some kind of soul-searching based on what Iceland and Germany are doing?
I think there's a little bit of soul-searching going on right now, Marco, because a lot of Americans, regardless of your political persuasion, look back on that 2008 near meltdown of the financial markets and the bailout and scratch their heads and say, wait a minute, why is it that no executive and no bank have been indicted when you find other places around the world? They have been indicted, convicted. There are jail terms being served. Whereas in the United States, you know, if you're a kid and you are found to have a few ounces of an illicit drug, you can find yourself in jail for quite a while. I think that issue is now kind of getting deeper and deeper into public consciousness. The United States is unique in the sense that the big corporations, big banks, and a lot of top executives and indeed billionaires have a great deal of political power here they don't have in other countries because, let's face it, they can make a lot of campaign contributions and do a lot of lobbying and express their influence in a lot of ways that they cannot in other advanced nations.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich's latest book is called Saving Capitalism for the Many, Not the Few. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Marco.